How will the Trump Department of Labor approach the mission of a cabinet department often associated with burdensome regulations, the kinds of things Donald Trump says he wants to get rid of, workplace regulations from safety to wages? Well, the Center for Public Integrity says some companies may be exploiting workers. It found in an investigation of government contractors and documented wage violations a serious problem. The center found that between January 2015 and July 2016, 68 companies received government contracts totaling $18 billion, even though they had violated wage laws. The Obama administration was attempting to enact new rules to weed out such companies, but President Trump signed a bill eliminating those rules last week. Mariam Jamil is a labor and environment reporter for the Center for Public Integrity who worked on this investigation.
Every agency has its set of people that do the contracting, these contracting agents that look at, you know, who is capable of doing this job, who have we worked with before, what was their performance like in the past. And then what we found was that it's often the lower wage workers that are particularly hit by this, because every agency, even though they need kind of the obvious things an agency would need to run, you also need folks to clean. You need security services. You need landscaping. You need to have food courts, stuff like that. And a lot of the workers that we ended up talking to were kind of these lower paid workers that maybe their wages don't sound as high, and the numbers that are like $2 an hour maybe that they're underpaid by, things like that, they don't sound like as much, but it actually means a lot at the end of the week when your paycheck falls short and you have rent to pay.
Well, it certainly meant a lot to a woman named LaToya who worked at a FEMA call center.
You know, when you tell people where you work at, they're like, oh, man, you working there? I know you're making good money, but you're just sitting there like, only if you knew. It's embarrassing to me to be able to let them know, like, yeah, I do this job, but I'm really struggling, like, living check to check. I have to call my parents, you know, get stuff from churches, take out little loans here and there.
She's an interesting example of what can happen. So since she's a subcontractor, her job is under the Service Contract Act. And so that means she's classified in a particular way. How much she makes is directly dependent on her duties at work. So her employer was paying her $14.28. But if you kind of read into what she should be making based on what she's doing, she should be making like more like $16, $17, $18, somewhere around there. And so she's been there for 6 years, and she's hardly gotten a raise in her time there. It's been really upsetting for her to have to deal with this, and then also to be able to try to meet expenses and have a way of life that she likes.
So the Obama administration apparently had plans to create a regulation that would require government agencies hiring subcontractors to look at their record of wage violations. But the Trump administration decided that's not going to be the case, that wage violations are not even going to be looked at.
Basically, the Obama administration decided it was going to make a rule so that these labor violations were very explicitly looked at. Under the Trump administration, in late March, he undid this regulation by the Obama administration. Now, since that rule is gone, the labor violation review process is not going to be an explicit part of the contracting process. But that doesn't mean that contracting officers won't look at labor violations. But what happens today is, even though it might be something that they can look at under the law, it doesn't typically get looked at.
Tell me about Carla Quezada's story. She's particularly angry because she really discovered she was getting ripped off.
Por el momento estoy trabajando ahí, pero
right now I'm working over there, but maybe I'll come by something better. But I don't know. I feel bad and indignant because my boss only had to give me about $240. I was supposedly owed much more.
She was a worker at a food court at the Ronald Reagan Building, which is a big kind of tourist destination in D.C., and a lot of people use it for different purposes. And she had never paid attention, like I think a lot of workers just hadn't really paid attention to her paychecks. But then an organization that was interested in figuring out whether there were wage law violations going on at different federal buildings started talking to workers, including her, at some federal buildings. And she realized that she hadn't been ever paid overtime. So her and her colleagues, when her employer didn't seem interested in changing their payment practices, they started going on strikes. They started, I think she really started feeling empowered. And that's why she was, it was a tough blow when after she went through her Department of Labor case, which took about 2 years, the whole process of between filing the complaint and getting money, she got a check for about $220. And she really thought she would be getting more.
What do you think the future is going to be for people like this? I mean, what do you say to them?
The Trump administration, basically in his budget, the Department of Labor is going to have a 21% cut. And there wasn't mention of what that will mean for wage and hour. But a lot of people guess that we will see a reduction in investigators in the Department of Labor's different enforcement agencies. There's also been a little bit of talk of a shift in strategy where this previous Department of Labor tried to be really enforcement heavy, like we talked about. But earlier under Bush, it was more, they call it compliance focused, which means the companies get more of a chance to say, hey, we're sorry and we will do better next time, but not necessarily have to pay the same types of damages that they tried to get paid under this previous administration.
Mariam Jamil from the Center for Public Integrity, thanks so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.